And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Wednesdays, but it's Tuesday, it's my good friend Alex Spears. Alex, what's up?
What's up, Andrew?
Are you still riding high off the Shea news?
No, I'm actually crashing from a yerba mate right now, Andrew. I pounded a yerba about an hour ago, and I'm already crashing.
Oh, no. Oh, man. So Shea, at basically the second that he could, which means that he did this before, this was in place long before he signed the deal or agreed to the deal. He is going to sign a 5-year max extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder. No options, which is really the key to this. So the Thunder basically have Shea under contract for the next 6 seasons, which is great. That's great. It's $172 million base.
Pretty cool.
It's pretty good. If he makes an All-NBA team, he can make upwards of $207 million, the same as Trae Young. So if you saw Trae Young's deal and you saw Shea's, you're like, why is there a big difference? Well, it's because All-Star teams, All-NBA teams, those like the Rose Rule. So that happened. It's a big moment.
That was cool.
Big moment for the Thunder. I mean, honestly, when the Thunder traded Paul George, and you knew that the Russ trade was coming, it felt like, okay, cool, they got Shea. Mostly cool, they got all these picks. And the Thunder are going to go into tank mode in order to start restocking the cupboard with stars. And I don't think anybody thought at the time, I mean, if you would have polled like every smart NBA guy and said, how many of you think that Shea will sign a max contract extension with the Thunder here in a couple of years? I think it would have been very, very few. And it would have been like a super smart guy thing to do if you did say that.
Not even that. It wouldn't even be a super smart guy. It would have been like what's going on with John Collins right now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, Shea's maybe not that player, but OKC's basically going to be forced to give him a huge max because what else are they going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Collins is definitely a rung below, but he provides so much for the team, and he probably has a good enough agent where they could put pressure on the Hawks to do it. This was a no-brainer. I mean, if the Thunder could pay him more, maybe they would have. But this is a no-brainer signing for the Thunder. It was always going to happen. There were lots of rumors about the Thunder possibly trading him at the draft. I never really thought that those were real conversations, especially when we're talking Shea and 6-for-1, or Shea for number 3. The value wasn't there. It didn't make a ton of sense. And I get the impression that that those were not conversations that the Thunder were pressing on others. I get the impression that it was the other way around, and that the Thunder's intent was always to do this deal at what ended up being 11 o'clock Central Time. So I think this was always the plan. I don't think that they ever planned to use Shea in order to move up in the draft. I think it would have taken a very special circumstance, like the Pistons offering 1+ future first for Shea. Then I think they'd have to be like, oh, okay, yes. You know, like that's an outrageous deal. That deal also never offered on draft night. So Shea stays, the Thunder keep. I mean, the Thunder have the same draft capital that they came into the draft with. They have 18 first-round picks moving forward, and they add Josh Giddey, and they add Trey Mann, and they get to have Shea at least for 6 more seasons. So making a lot of money.
And if you look
go ahead.
if you look at their money situation, because I was, yeah. like, because it doesn't start for an entire another year, like, because, you know, there were the people saying, like, OKC doesn't want to play pay SGA, which was so stupid. Yeah. But if you think about, like, the next guy who will be up for a rather large contract from OKC, it's probably going to be Dort. And even then, that wouldn't start until Shea's second year into his contract. Mm-hmm. So that's three seasons from mm-hmm. now. Just to give you an idea of, like, how clean their books are going to be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Which is probably one of the reasons why they get rumored with all these restricted free agents, because they literally could sign any of these guys mm-hmm. and it wouldn't really matter.
It really wouldn't. And that's like, the lines are only being drawn to the Thunder for restricted free agents just because the Thunder have money. And also...
Well, it's weird, though. It's not happening with the Spurs, and the Spurs have the exact same amount sure. of money.
I think that the Thunder are being used as leverage in a lot of different contract negotiations, whether that be coming from the Thunder side or not. I think that that's how they're being used. Is, oh my goodness, if the Thunder want them, of course, then maybe we should go sign whoever it is. You know, John, like, if Zach Collins wanted to go to OKC or the Thunder wanted him, okay, well, we can demand this much. I was kind of surprised the amount that Zach Collins got on that contract and gave him 3 years. I would be horrified to give Zach Collins even 3 years.
Yeah, people know that he, like, just rebroke his yeah. foot. Like, a month ago, he rebroke mm-hmm. his foot. So he's probably not going to play this season.
Yeah.
So there's a year off of whatever you just paid yeah. him. And then you're hoping him to... At this point, he wouldn't have played for like 2.5 NBA seasons. Mm-hmm. And he'll be coming back. Yeah, I was never a fan of that one. Some of the other ones I thought were interesting, but most everything has been cleaned up at this point, except for Lauri Markkanen. That's kind of like the last yeah. name that was... rumored, I guess, and based on the move that the Bulls just did, it seems clear to me that they're probably not going to be paying Lauri Markkanen, since they're about to pay. Did you see what the deal was? Like, not just the trade, but yeah, what the actual contract was?
3 years.
3 years, $85 million plus
Woo!
For DeMar DeRozan.
Woo!
Whew. Not only that,
makes me sweat.
They had to give up a first and 2 seconds and Thad Young, who, like, legitimately was one of their best players.
That's what you call an overpay. That's where you're not using your area code properly.
I'm shocked that is where this ended up, because remember coming into last season, we were talking about, oh, they got the Denver Nuggets GM. He's so good. He got all these great guys for Denver. He's going to be so smart. And now they've created this team that, like, I just, like, don't even care. Like, that team's not going towards contention. Like, are they going to make the playoffs? Great. Cool. Good for you. But you're locked into all these long-term contracts. Like, what is the next move that's going to move you beyond that? Like, DeRozan's on a legitimately bad contract now.
Yeah.
Bad. Straight up, they just signed a bad... That's honestly one of the first deals of this free agency that I actually think is totally bad. Yeah. Like, I can't justify it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not the... If he were the caliber player of Jimmy Butler, then it's fine, you know? It's totally fine. That's why, I mean, Butler's deal is huge, but it's fine, at least for next season. Thank you.
Well, at least that team can, like, legitimately tell themselves, oh... If things break right, we could make the finals next
sure.
year.
Sure. If things break right, the Bulls can make the playoffs. That's yeah. what they're telling themselves.
Yeah.
It's a weird team, too. Yeah, I think Zach LaVine is good, and Lonzo Ball is good. But outside of that, like, with DeMar DeRozan and Vooch, like, it's kind of a gross team, like, ill-fitting team. It's weird.
Well, now that Thad's gone, it's like, who is playing defense on that team other than Lonzo? Like, it's Lonzo and Alex Caruso. Those are, like, your best defenders.
That's why they brought him in, baby.
Who even is in the front court? Because they actually sent back Al-Farouq Aminu in that deal, too. Not that he's, like, amazing or anything, but those were their two power forwards.
Yeah, he's at least
so they
guy.
Have Patrick Williams. They're basically just, like, betting on Patrick Williams becoming
yeah.
an elite defensive player in his second season.
Yeah. It's gonna be kind of brutal. Hey, Tony Snell to the Blazers. Is that helping the Blazers culture there? Is this what Dame was calling for?
Hey, I don't hate that. I hate the Blazers in general because they're not going to break up this team. Yeah. But Tony Snell shot 40% from three.
Yeah.
Actually, he shot 56.9% from three last
right.
year. On 2.3 attempts. He's better than what they had.
Yeah.
Give him the mellow minutes. Yeah, that's great.
Oh,
good for
no.
the Blazers. They still should trade CJ, but whatever.
Yeah, they should. But the problem is, and we don't have to get into it, but for what is always the tough question. Everybody wants to talk about restricted free agents. John Collins, you want to pay John Collins $25 million a year?
No, and I see people on Twitter getting excited about John Collins, but like, what about John Collins? Going back to the draft real quick. Mm-hmm. You've talked about this a little bit with Mikey, and I feel this way, certainly, mm-hmm. that like nothing has changed my opinion more on the future of the Thunder than what they did in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of they are targeting guys that fit within this system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we always make the comparison to the process Sixers,
yep.
and I was texting with you, like, Sam Hinkie would have drafted Jonathan Kuminga 100 times out of 100.
No doubt.
Every single time he would have drafted Jonathan Kuminga.
Yes.
You go back and look at those Sixers teams, there was never any thought put into these pieces fitting together.
Mm-hmm.
It was just always BPA every single year.
Every year, baby.
And to be fair, that's what we were talking about, and that's kind of how we were framing it this season and going into this draft. And it was only within like the last few days of that draft that we started to like, I mean, we're talking about Book Knight, who fits a little bit better than Kuminga, but like Giddy is the one that fits. So now going back to John Collins real quick, like what about John Collins like fits into this like Oklahoma City thing? Like he doesn't come across as like a Thunder player.
Yeah.
In terms of the way he plays.
Yeah, the way he plays, the attitude stuff too, not that he's like a bad guy or anything, but also the Thunder traditionally, just like take a look at the way that Sam Presti has built teams. Even when he had Kevin and he had Russ and he had Harden like firmly in place and they had gobs of cap space in 2010. Great free agent class. Like they could have tried to lure like David Lee or at least like you maybe even like you never even heard that like, man, the Thunder would love to get a hold of Chris Bosh. You know, like they had that kind of room. The Thunder knew,
yeah.
like they knew that they weren't going to get those guys. You think John Collins is going to leave Atlanta, who they just made this really nice run, to come play for a lottery team in Oklahoma City? Like think
well,
again. Think again.
It's not only that. The deal they just offered him is $5 million, $125 million.
Bro.
And that's what he's turning down.
Yeah.
So you have to go above that. And you really can't because we can only offer him a 4-year deal.
Right.
So you basically have to offer him a 4-year max.
You want to pay
like
him
that,
the 4-year max.
That's the sort
max.
Of deal that I would not be into.
No way.
Now, on the flip side, I was talking or I was tweeting last night about Kemba Walker, how it seems like I don't see where the obvious fit is at this
sure.
point. But somebody brought up, well, what about Ben Simmons?
Mm-hmm.
And I initially disregarded
mm-hmm.
it because it's like, why would you want to play Josh Giddey and Ben Simmons together? It seems like there's a lot of overlap
Van
there. But compared to John Collins, like I would much rather go after someone like Ben Simmons. You're giving them the same amount, by the way. I would much rather go after someone like Ben Simmons,
mm-hmm.
who I could justify in the Oklahoma City system.
What you giving up for Ben Simmons? What are you giving up?
I would give up. I actually thought about this a lot last
mm-hmm.
night. Here's what I would give.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want a stupid deal. They want a huge stupid
they
deal.
Do. They want a stupid
so
deal.
So I have to get as close to stupid as I can.
Okay.
All right. And they also need to get better next year.
Have to.
Like, yes, I know they want picks, but they have to get pieces back that help
have
them.
To.
So here we go. Kemba Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
Both picks we got for the 16th pick
mm-hmm.
this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns pick and the Heat pick.
Hmm. Interesting. That's a lot, but it's not so much that you're...
It's a lot, but it's really not.
And there's not, like, any, like, blue chip piece in there at all from the Thunder with regards to, like, the pick you want to give up.
Right. Now, the only way I do that is if you if you're committed to playing Ben Simmons as your center.
Yeah, you got to get weird with it. You can't come in and play him at point. Like, it's got to be Shea, Dort, Giddy, Poku, Simmons. And then, like, you're just like...
I mean, that sounds kind of fun.
It would be wacky and fun, and you're actually, like, your defense has a chance to be, like, really good. And that has to be... That's a fast-forward piece, right? That's a, okay, we kind of like what we have going here. Are the Thunder willing to forfeit their pick next season?
Right, because that, you know, definitely puts it into jeopardy.
Because I just think there's, like, a negative chance of that happening. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. But at the same time, where is he going to go?
Kemba? Or Ben?
Wait, actually, hold on.
What?
Ramona Shelburne on The Jump said the Sixers are open to bringing Ben Simmons back, and I think they prefer that. Okay. Yeah.
What that means is we can't find a trade that we like for Ben Simmons. That's what that means.
Yeah,
it signals to a team that's trying to trade for him, like, that's not enough.
Right.
So
they're so screwed.
They're pretty screwed. Hey, they got Drummond.
Isn't that weird that they waived George Hill?
Yeah, what's the move? I mean, they're trying to clear space. Like, what's the deal?
I mean, I guess they do clear a little bit of space. I think it was because it was $1 million guaranteed. It was a $9 million deal. I kind of assumed it was kind of like a Corey Joseph thing, like Detroit waived him and then re-signed him for a longer deal. I thought they might do something like that, but it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. And also, Danny Green is still out there.
Yep.
Like, if they don't get either of those guys, which I admit, like, neither of those guys are, like, swinging the championship next year.
Yeah.
But if they don't get those guys, like, they are really committing to Tyrese Maxey. Like, Jaden Springer is probably going to have to play some minutes.
Well, in their defense, they saw the long run the Lakers made with Drummond next to all the bigs and with the Lakers and thought, that's exactly what we need. That's the missing piece. It's Andre Drummond.
Yeah. It's one of those moves where, like, because it's a minimum, it's like you can't even get mad at it, but you want to.
Yes.
But you know that the response is just going to be, oh, it's a minimum. Who cares?
I'd rather pay Mike Muscala like, yeah, $7
million. Yeah. Yeah, on that team. Because you could actually play him with Embiid.
Yes.
Like, you're not playing Drummond and Embiid together ever.
No.
Hopefully.
No.
I was texting with my my cousin who lives in Philly.
Yeah.
And he is obsessed with Tony Bradley. He wants Tony Bradley back so bad, which I know sounds crazy, but at the same time, like, he's a better defender than Andre Drummond.
Yeah. If you're putting your eggs in either of those baskets, we're in big trouble. We're in big, big trouble.
Well, I don't know. They are definitely one of the teams where I don't see what the out is. I don't see how they escape from this corner they have painted themselves into.
I don't know. They had the chance with James Harden. Like, they had it. That was it, right? That was kind of they didn't know it at the time, but that was their last chance, right?
Yeah, for sure. It was.
And now, because they didn't get, like, if they got Lowry, then I would be like, okay, let's keep Ben Simmons. Let's cook. Let's see what happens, you know? Now you don't even have George Hill. What are we doing here? I mean, like, what's this? I don't know. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for the Sixers fan base. Cause I like a lot of the content that the Sixers guys put out. So I consume a lot
of it. Hey, but be honest, like, all of that Sixers content, talking about rights to Ricky Sanchez, it's better when they're dysfunctional.
It can. Yes. Yes, it can. The height of it was the Colangelo Burnergate pods were just outrageous. Oh, man. Speaking of Mike Muscala that we mentioned earlier, he's coming back to the Thunder, which I think is great. He's certainly a culture play for the Thunder, a guy that can stretch the floor for Shea. I thought he was actually pretty good for them last year, and then did not care that he didn't play. And then when I asked him about why he wouldn't want to go anywhere else, he cried. So, like, he loves it here. And I thought it was, as long as the Thunder wanted him back, which I kind of assumed that they did, it was kind of a foregone conclusion that he was going to return. And I think it's a great thing. And some people, it's hilarious. I get these, and I got this several times yesterday where I was like, nice culture play for the Thunder, blah, blah, blah. People are like, the Thunder have no culture. You know, I got that comment many times. And if you think the Thunder don't have a culture, like, you're missing it. Like, you really are missing it. Because
I mean, I think it would be a better argument to say that's all they have right now.
Yes. Yes. I agree. And the Thunder have created this organization that really does care deeply for players and wants the best for them, not only as basketball players. I think that's definitely something they want. They put a ton of effort and resources and money and everything into it. Like, the practice facility is top notch. Like, it's a great practice facility. And then they try to give all the players everything that they want while they're here. And so, and plus, like, there really is like a familial element to this team, and starts with Sam and trickles down to the coaching staff and then to the players. And you can even see it, and I talked about this Monday with Mikele, but just the way that all the guys they drafted just spoke about their journey, spoke about their family, spoke about the team. You can just tell, like, they are prioritizing, like, quality people as well. Which, it's not like there's like a ton of like really bad guys in the NBA, but like they're prioritizing like unselfish people, unselfish basketball players too. So I think that's pretty important. So and Mike Muscala definitely fits that to a T. So glad that Mike is back. Glad they re-signed Shea, or that they signed Shea to the extension. I think that is such a huge deal for the Thunder and such a big moment for the city. To have another no-brainer max-level player going into his second contract, like, that's hard to find, the no-brainer one. Now, like, ask the Kings. Like, the Thunder have done that many times, right? They've re-signed these guys to these max-level guys that was no-brainer. Like, of course you do that. You know, the Kings would love to be able to do that with any of their guys and it being, like, not even questioned. I think even, like, De'Aaron Fox was even a question whenever he signed his. So
think about, like, if, and this actually could have happened, because I do think the Cavs wanted to draft Shea, and remember, Shea would not work out for the Cavs because that was when they got the pick in the Kyrie Irving trade. It was number 8, and instead they took Colin Sexton. Let's say sliding door situation, Shea agrees to go to the Cavs, Colin Sexton goes to the Clippers, and he ends up on Oklahoma City. Good player,
yeah.
Very efficient shooter, but imagine in this same situation this summer, OKC, like, probably, or at least the pressure from the outside is OKC has to max this guy, because what else are you going to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
You can't let this guy leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're in such a good situation because of how good Shea is.
Yeah.
Even if it was Shea from last year, or 2 years ago, I guess, on that CP3 team, you would still have some questions about giving that player a max.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't understate the jump that he made from the CP3 season to last season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really is in a completely different tier than he was previously. I think previously you could have made a comparison between him and Colin Sexton.
Mm-hmm.
I would have still preferred Shea. But now, in my opinion, they are, like, in totally different tiers as far as players you would want to build a roster around.
Yeah, the efficiency, the leading the league in drives, like, all that kind of stuff is a big deal. And the versatility that he plays with and the unselfishness. I mean, I think Shea's ready to lead a team. Now, I don't think that they I don't think this team is going to like go to the play-in tournament or anything like that next year, but I think he's ready to be the number one guy for a full season. And I think that this team is ready to kind of see what that looks like. And I doubt that we will, and well, this is just going to be an ongoing conversation. Like, I think the intent when Paul George and Westbrook were traded was to be bad for several years, right? For it to be like bottom of the barrel team for several years. They traded for Shea. Obviously the Thunder liked him. Obviously the Clippers liked him, right? I don't think anybody thought that this was going, this was like an out. I mean, even going into last season, I think that what happened with Shea was a like the chances of it happening, like 10% outcome. Like, I just don't think anybody really thought it was going to happen, and it did. And he continues to get better. And I just am curious to see what he turns out to be when he plays this season, because I would not be surprised to see him be a better player. But I just think that the with the commitment to Shea, with the improvement that I think Dort could make as well, with what they want, with the plan with Poku, right? The plan with even Darius Bazley, I just don't think this can be a bottom of the barrel team anymore. I really thought going into last season they had a real chance to be a bottom of the barrel team, and they proved that to be wrong. They proved the organization, they proved the team, like the players proved that, and the coaching staff proved that to like the organization, like, hey, this isn't like tenable if you want to be like this, the worst or the second worst team in the NBA. I do, however, think that they're going to be in like the 5-8 range. I don't think that they're going to be bottom of the barrel, but I do think this is going to be like the 5th-8 worst team in the league, and then you're counting on luck to get you where you want to go from there, which is not exactly where you want to be if you're trying to pick high in the draft, but I think that's just the situation you found yourself in. And if you trade Shea, one, it needs to be for probably a high pick in the draft, right? Or you find yourself in a position where you're trying to find another Shea, find another guy that's a no-brainer, max-level player on a second deal. Which, again, is not, I mean, somebody in the top five that was drafted this year will not be a no-brainer max level player. Like, that will happen. And trying to pick the right one, like, that's, I mean, it's almost like roulette. Like, that's a tough thing to do. And so I think the Thunder made the right play, but also acknowledging that moving into this next phase to build a contender, is made a little bit more difficult in a way. It's definitely not more difficult because you already have the piece in place. That's Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and that's great. But to find that second piece, you're hoping that one of the guys you already have emerges as that second piece, whether that's Dort or Poku or Giddey or Trey Mann or whoever it is. You know, the beauty of Shea is that that any of those guys can play next to him, and it's not a wonky fit. Like, it works. But that's what they're hoping for. And then they will be building through the draft still. Like, they still have 18 first round picks. They will have their pick next year. It's lottery protected, but they will have it. You know, I think that they're hoping for some luck along the way. And, you know, even the Sonics got really lucky to get Kevin Durant. I think that they were like 7th or 8th in the draft order, in the draft lottery order, ended up jumping up to 2. I think that they're hoping for some luck. And then what didn't happen this year was they didn't offer like the mother load of picks for somebody above them. And perhaps next year will be that year. I think it will eventually happen, because you obviously can't use all 18 picks, and especially that they restocked the cupboard after they picked 2 guys. Like, they can't continue to do that. It's got to eventually... You have to eventually consolidate probably 3, 4, or 5 picks at once in order to get what you want. But clearly it didn't happen this year. But, you know, the plan is a little bit less clear. But I also think that this current direction will be more palatable for fans that want to go see the team play. Like, I think this young team, while they will lose a ton of games, I think that there will be some intrigue, just because there's kind of some fun characters within the team.
Yeah. I have an update on talking about Kemba destinations.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I'd like to reopen one that I had kind of closed, which is the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
So Kirk Seriousface, who is the editor-in-chief at Mavs Moneyball, he screenshotted something from the Athletic Live blog. Oh, my broom just fell. He said, so I'm guessing this is Sam Amick, but they're talking about the idea that Dallas would go out and get Goran Dragic, who was given to Toronto Raptors in the sign and trade for Kyle Lowry from Miami. Makes sense. He's from Slovenia. Mm-hmm. He likes Luka. Everything's cool. But Sam Amick said, to join as a third team in that deal, Dallas would have to send at least $14.5 million in salary to Toronto, something most easily done by combining Dwight Powell and Willie Cauley-Stein. But that's where it gets complicated. Dallas wouldn't want to do that because Powell is beloved around the organization, and losing two centers in the same transaction would thin the team's depth. The Mavs also don't want to replace Cauley-Stein with one of their prospects in Josh Green or Tyrell Terry. I'm kind of surprised by that because I had just kind of assumed that they would make that deal for Goran Dragic.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently it might have been Kevin O'Connor said, oh, no, on the Low Post, they said that they don't want to pay Dragic $19 million. They're banking on internal improvement. That's interesting because we saw what happened in the playoffs with Porzingis. They can say whatever they want about, oh, things are great. But if you make the deal for Kemba, you get off that contract a year earlier than you would otherwise. And because they just signed Tim Hardaway Jr., they are not going to be in the free agent market for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
At least until that Porzingis deal is up, which is 3 years from now. So, yes, like Kemba is not the most amazing player that the Mavs would want, but he gets them closer to that free agency market a year earlier.
If Kemba was a free agent and they had the space and he was all that was left, they would probably go try to get him.
Yeah. So all of that is to say, I think the door's back open.
Okay.
For the Porzingis Kemba swap. I have no idea what would need to be included on either side.
Mm-hmm.
That would not shock me at this point, though.
Ooh. For Porzingis, I mean, we've talked about this a lot. I think and we talked about it with regards to Horford, I think, when we initially visited the trade. That's really interesting. I think if I'm the Mavs, I would rather just take a shot with Porzingis, and maybe he's better this year than trade for Kemba. You're not in agreement.
I don't know. I mean, if you want to tell yourself that story, but it's like it's been 2 years in a row of telling themselves that.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
It what if it doesn't work out this year?
Mm-hmm.
And now you have his contract for another 2 years. Now you're like, know that he can't. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And now who are you moving him for? Actually, probably moving him for Kemba Walker next year. But
Kemba still, I don't know. Available. Yeah.
It seems just one of those things that could be realistic.
Yeah. What's the trade look like?
It does kind of. I don't know. Give me a sec though. Give me one more point. It does also reset the timeline on that contract as an asset, because the Kemba Walker contract is only 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get anything for him before this February, at that point he's an expiring contract, and the chances of you getting like something nice are probably limited, because any good team is just going to be like, well, they might buy him out next year, so we'll just wait for that. If you get Porzingis, now you have 3 years, which is the same deal they had with Horford. So you can still have him play an entire year, build back his value, and then trade him to a team when he still has 2 years left on his deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, what would the deal look like?
What are you willing to give the Mavs to make this worth their while? Like Kemba?
I'd give him one of those poop firsts. One of the ones I don't care about.
Poop firsts.
I'll give one and poop first.
What about Kenrich or Ty? Are you giving them that to like make them feel better?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm bringing all this up. I don't really want Porzingis.
I know. I don't really either. I don't want Kemba either. Which one do you want? Yeah. Which one do you want less?
I mean, I think it's okay. How about we frame it this way? Mm-hmm. Which do you think would be easier to build back their value? I think you could put Porzingis in a system with Oklahoma City, and he would look very good. He would look significantly better than he looked in Dallas. Because people forget, he scored 20 points per game last year.
He did. He did. 20 points, almost 9 boards.
You put him in this system, which, by the way, our only center, Mike Muscala.
Favors.
He would get plenty of playing time. He's going to stretch the floor for Shea.
Yeah.
But he can do other things beyond just what Mike Muscala brings. I think you could build up his value pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. That's why I think the Mavs should keep him. that's why I think the Mavs should absolutely keep him. I think he's a better fit overall with the Mavs. I think that's the most likely outcome, is that they just keep him and go into the season. I don't think that this is necessarily realistic. Because, I mean, it's
the problem,
5-year difference between the two. That's significant.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, if there were rumblings that that Luka was disappointed or upset after this season, mm-hmm. It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Well, we think Jason Kidd's going to be an upgrade over Rick Carlisle.
I mean, I don't.
That's what you're betting on?
I don't. I'm not saying that. I just think that they're in a tough spot.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to an imaginary, optimistic Mavs fan who has joined us. You can't see them. I'm yelling at them.
Yeah, I'm just a little, I don't know. I think what if Porzingis looks great, but maybe you still want to trade him? It's a much better time to do it, you know? I don't know. If I'm the Thunder, I think that I would do it. I think I would do that trade to see if you could build his value, or just see, is he a fit here? Because if he's like anything like he was, like when he first, you know, started playing for the Mavs, or what he was in New York, or if the Thunder are like, oh,
he'd be an incredible fit.
Incredible. That's a star. He's a star level player, a really good player next to Shea, next to Dort. And then if Giddy or Poku or somebody else pops, then it's okay, cool. There it is. But that also feels like the quick fix that will never happen with the Thunder. You know, I keep trying to preach to this, that yes, it would be fun to get him. Yes, it would be fun to get John Collins. It would make the team instantly better, certainly, but I don't believe the Thunder are looking for a quick fix. I think that they're looking for extra. I don't think they're looking for assets for Kemba. I don't think they're looking for a player. I think that this is going to be a slow build toward something. Like they said, let's say you trade for Porzingis and then he gets hurt. Maybe you're just in the same spot and he's just on your team. Maybe it doesn't matter ultimately.
It doesn't matter because, again, his contract runs out that it will be the second year of Shea's deal.
Yeah, true.
There's still no concerns at that point.
That's true. I don't know. I just think the Thunder I would be surprised if they went for a quick fix. Now, Porzingis may be a special case in all of this.
I don't even see him. I don't see him as a quick fix, though, because he would have to be significantly better than he's been in the past for mm-hmm. it to really matter that much. I don't know. We know that they were interested in him before he even entered the draft.
True.
They tried to get him to come out the year before.
Yeah.
So we know that there's a history there already. It would not shock me at this point, especially after reading what I just read about. I would have sworn that they would go after Dragic.
Yeah.
Because he would be a good fit next to Luka.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
He's a good off-ball guard. But real quick, on a trade, we've gone down the Porzingis road so far now.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're making me choose between Kenny Hussle and Ty Jerome, I think I'd trade Ty Jerome, even though he's one of my favorite players on the Thunder. They have so many guards right now.
Yeah, Trey Mann is theoretically young Ty Jerome.
Yeah, and you still have Teo. Obviously, you have Shea. You have Giddy now, who's going to have the ball in his hands a lot.
Yeah. Do they bring back Ty Jerome? Is a question. You know,
true.
They get the qualifying offer. They, you know, offer the qualifying offer to Josh Hall, you know, who's kind of a wing guard. So, yeah, there's a lot there.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
Something to think about, though.
Yeah. I would, I'm highly skeptical of a deal like that.
Backing out, though, just looking at general free agency,
mm-hmm.
I got to say, there, before I saw that DeRozan deal, not a ton of, like, just straight-up terrible signings. Like, yeah. Even the Knicks, who I do not like what the Knicks ended up doing with that space at all.
Can't like it.
At the same time, like, okay, that roster is better than it was last year. Like, Evan Fournier does address some of the issues that they had last year. I just think that banking on Julius Randle and RJ Barrett to be like two of the highest minutes played guys in the mm-hmm. league second year in a row is kind of risky. Obviously, they did have the injury to Mitchell Robinson, mm-hmm. but outside of that, they were a relatively healthy team.
Yeah.
And that usually doesn't happen with Tibbs long term, so we'll see. And then with even with the Pelicans, like, as bad as all of this looks, and by the way, KOC said that Tim Hardaway Jr. turned down $88 million from the Pelicans, which is more than he got with the Mavs.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Even with, like, how bad it's gone for the Pelicans, I actually think they're still better than they were last year. Because mm-hmm. I think Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe were such terrible fits.
Yeah.
That I don't think this is enough to, like, keep Zion or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do think they'll be a better team than they were last year.
Yeah. Certainly possible, certainly.
I mean, were there any deals that you just absolutely hated?
Oh, I just... The Pistons are just funny. You know, paying Kelly Olynyk.
What, the Olynyk?
Yeah, it's, you know, not a bad... It's not like a bad contract, but, like, it's just kind of funny.
After what they did last year, now it's just like, I just have to, like, trust them. Like, they obviously... got it more right. I mean, they got the number one pick. Things are looking great for the Pistons.
Yeah, no, I think it helps. Like, I think that Olynyk helps that team. I think it actually fits what they want to do pretty well too. But it's just kind of that was just kind of a funny one. Yeah, like, I don't know, about $62 million between Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks seems a little rich for me.
Shout out to Nerlens, though, man. He's had so many $5 million contracts after turning down that big Mavs deal.
It's great. It's great.
It finally starts making back some of that. By the way, one of Damian Lillard's cousins tweeted out, Blazers front office, ... emoji with hand over face. Shame, you know?
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. I agree.
They are my other team other than the Sixers, where it's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Like Dame is on record. He has come out and said the roster that we have is not championship worthy. He's on record saying that. And they are going to run it back.
Give me Snell, baby. Snell. Way Johnson 1 thinks that Markadan is better than KP.
Markadan.
I don't understand the Thunder fan base's fascination with Lauri Markkanen. I don't get it. Maybe if they acquire him, well, I'll dig into it, but until then I am firmly in the camp of why would you do that? Like, that would be my official take, is if the Bulls were just saying, like, you know what, we're good, we're fine. We don't need him. Worry a little bit about that. Okay, we got to cut it short. Let's go over to the stream and take a look. Oh, yeah, the Blazers got Cody Zeller, too. You feeling good about that? Everybody feeling pretty good about that?
Cantor. Better than Cantor.
Are we sure?
For what they needed, yes. Last year they were playing Enes Kanter and Carmelo Anthony at the same time.
Oh, I remember. I remember talking about it. All right. Fetty Massa is here. Tyler Field. Josh Smith. The Tall Shot, OKC, Jamie Akar is here, Lawrence Field, Ian Kirkham, Jeremy Ulrich, Daniel Sinney, Nate27, Nathan Creamer, Moots is here, Falk is here, Austin, Nate Thomas, Ethan Salter, Parker Gross, Christos is here. Let's see. Hoops Talk 69 says we love Shay. Yes, we do. Braden Marshall, Clay Sally is here. Let's see. Nicholas Hadako is here. Kevin Chen, Austin Crawcraft is here. Miroslav is here. Unhandicapped Train is here. White Black, Tim Gordon. Let's see. Thanks so much for joining the stream. If you want to, you can follow us on, or I guess you could subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit the little bell and get notifications on when we go live, and you can hop on with us too. Nick Kiger, Morgan Stevens wants Lowry Markkanen. I don't understand you, Morgan Stevens. Patrick Shannon is here, says, give me Lowry or give me death. What is happening, Al? What does this mean? Is people just wanting action? Like, what's this about?
Oh, I thought you said, give me Lowry. I was like, well, I don't know if he fits the timeline.
Kyle Lowry or give me death. Luke Babbitt, which I hope is the player. Maddie Mulls, Bowman. Edwin is here. Let's see. Wade Johnson, who I mentioned earlier. William Hecox is here. Let's see. Quinn Waters. Tanner Newman. Ian Kirkham is here. Amit is here. Thanks so much for joining. Our song is over. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. And we will join you guys back on Friday with the Fry Pod.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, special addendum. Alex and I forgot to talk about this live on the stream, so this is just for the pod. But there are rumors about Spencer Dinwiddie going to the Wizards, and they are needing the Thunder's help to make this happen. Alex, can you break it down for us real quick?
Yeah, the deal as currently constructed just doesn't work. And you can go on to The Athletic. Danny LaRue and Fred Katz released an article 3 hours ago. Yep. Talking about how complicated this deal is and that there needs to be another team brought into it. And there are a few different options. The first being that you could include him in the Russell Westbrook trade. Like, you could expand that. But that would require the Lakers doing a favor for the Nets,
right,
which doesn't seem likely because, I mean, at this point, those two teams could meet in the finals. Like, why would you want to help
Definitely.
Out the Nets? So the other option would be to deal with OKC because we just got that 2023 protected first from the Washington Wizards. Nope. That was one of the picks that we got for the 16th pick. And because we got that and because the protections go out so far, the Wizards cannot trade a first right now. So they cannot incentivize Brooklyn Nets to trade to do this sign and trade with Spencer Dinwiddie. If they could trade a protected first to Brooklyn, and it could even be heavily protected, I bet Brooklyn, like, all this, like, clears up. But the only way to do that is to unprotect the pick that OKC has.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely crazy to do because that is 2023, which is not this draft, but the next draft, which means that is the draft after Bradley Beal's free agency. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent next summer. Mm-hmm. And if he leaves, if he leaves and we have their unprotected pick the following season, that would be one of the most blue chip picks we've had in recent NBA memory. Because that team would not be good.
It would be unbelievable. And also, I really hope it happens so that people can stop talking about Şengün too. Like, can we do that?
Oh, that would make them forget real quick. And honestly, I would give up. Like, I would give. You can have the Detroit pick.
Sure.
If you just want to feel good about having a first,
Steph.
I'll give you the Detroit pick if you unprotect that one pick. Because I will bet on this not working out with Bradley Beal.
Yes. Bet on things not working for the Wizards. That's a safe bet. That's an absolutely safe bet. So just be on the lookout for that, because that is something that could be coming down the Thunder pipeline rather soon, because I think the Wizards really do want to get Spencer Dinwiddie on their team. So just be on the lookout, and also know that perhaps that deal for the 16th pick wasn't quite as bad as some of you feel that it is. I had somebody on YouTube in the comments say that it was the worst deal since the Harden trade, which was just like, wow, like that's a take. That is a take. Chill out. Okay. All right. Thanks so much, everybody. We will talk to you guys again on Friday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.